Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 17 for September 29th, 2007. Ask Moxie. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. It's time for Jumping Monkeys. I'm Leo Laporte with Megan Maroney, and I just said before we started the microphone, before I turn on the tape machine. You like that tape machine, by the way?
I got
that out of the garage sale.
Is that eight-track?
Yeah. Pretty cool, huh? I press the button, it goes thunk, and we go to another track. Before I turned on the machine, I was saying how much I like doing this podcast. It's fun. And you know, one of the reasons is because we're getting all these calls.
Yeah. I'm excited about listening to everybody's voices. It's fun.
Yeah. We'll get your feedback in a second on the show. But before we do that, we should say we've got a guest coming up today.
Mm-hmm.
Moxie.
Yeah, Moxie. She runs an internet parenting advice blog. I guess that's, you know, parenting. I mean, internet and blog. That's sort of, you understand that it's on the internet. What am I saying?
Are you drunk?
I am not drunk. I'm not feeling well. I'm not feeling that great.
Oh, but, you know, are you on epinephrine?
No, I am not on any medication. Pseudoephrine? But I think just sleepy. But anyway.
I went to the doctor the other day.
You did? Let me tell you about Moxie first.
I feel like you're kind of slow, younger brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She runs a parenting advice blog. She's really empathetic. I really like her method of answering questions. So I invited her on. And
can't wait to meet her.
Yeah. And she is actually going to take some questions from listeners also.
She says she's not an expert.
No.
But she answers questions anyway.
Yes, exactly.
I like that. I kind of feel the same way. I'm not an expert, but I'll answer your question.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So you went to the doctor? Were you saying you went to the doctor?
Oh, yeah, that. Oh, so my wife, because I come home and I have just the littlest cough. I just went, and she says, you've been coughing for months. I said, no, I haven't. I just went, She made me an appointment with the doctor. Said, I'm not going. Kicking and screaming, I went in. And it's embarrassing because she makes these appointments and I go into the doctor and he says, what's wrong? And I said, well, nothing's wrong, but my wife made the appointment and I feel like a wimp. But anyway, I said, well, I've had this little, and you know what he said?
What?
Take more pseudonephrine.
Sudafed?
Sudafed.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. For a cough?
I don't know. I guess I get post-nasal drip. I don't know.
Interesting. So, yeah.
And then he said, and by the way, you're going to have a sigmoidoscopy. So that really, you know, I'm really owe my wife for that.
Yeah, I think I saw that on one of your
my blog
blogs.
Posts.
Yeah,
and
I had to look it up. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't really want to look that up.
No.
So that I really want to thank my wife because I go. This is why I don't go to doctors because you present with something and then you end up having something else.
Right.
And it's like you know now you're going to be in treatment for years.
Exactly.
I don't want to know anything.
Yeah.
I just want to die suddenly
for
no apparent cause. At any point, it's okay. I don't know how I got in this.
So, yeah, later we're going to talk to Moxie. We're
going
to do some links. We're going to have a book pick and my YouTube video pick of the week also.
This is something new.
Yeah.
You've not done this before.
Yeah, well, I was finding some really funny, or other listeners were finding some funny
YouTube
videos and sending
great.
Them in. So
pretty soon we won't need TV.
No. Well, I don't need TV anymore.
Not
actually,
really.
I need DVDs, but pretty soon I won't need that anymore.
Yeah. You just will go to YouTube and watch everything.
Speaking of DVDs, have you put Friday Night Lights on your Netflix list yet?
No, I haven't. I've got to do that.
It's such a good show.
I've got to do that. Let me
it's
just
a
make
really
a note of that.
Great. It's one of the best shows that I've seen on network television.
You know,
ever.
I read the book, which was a nonfiction book by Bissinger,
I
think.
Yeah, H.G. Bissinger. Yeah, I read it.
And I interviewed him years. This was, 10, 15 years ago. And it was great, fascinating. And, you know, you come from Texas. So what it's about is high school football in Texas. And they're crazy about it.
Yeah.
Friday night is the night. And those are the lights. Then they made it into a fictional
movie. The movie. A movie, yeah. with and Billy Bob Thornton.
I wish I didn't see. And now it's a TV show.
Yeah.
Also fictional, though,
yeah.
Right? But same
yeah, but
idea?
It's like, yeah, but saying like, oh, I like it because I'm from Texas would be saying like, oh, you like The Sopranos because you're from New Jersey.
I am
or
from New Jersey and I'm Italian.
You're neither.
Did you see when The Sopranos came out at the Emmy Awards? It was pretty funny. All the cast comes out. And my son, who's never seen The Sopranos. Oh, wait a minute. YouTube has started.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And my son, who's never seen The Sopranos, says, they all look like they're in the mafia. I said, well, they're actors, but that's why they were chosen. And it's true. When you look at them all, they look like a bunch of thugs.
Yeah.
Except for Carmella.
Mm-hmm. But I'm watching The Sopranos over, and it's interesting. You should watch it from the beginning.
Show. Because I would like to.
In the beginning, their kids are exactly the same age as your kids are now.
They grow up fast on that show.
But they're the age your kids are now.
That's even scarier.
Yeah, and EJ plays too many video games.
Right.
Beware.
Right. And
so,
you know what Tony does that I think is good parenting? He slaps him upside the head a lot.
Right.
Anthony Jr., bam! I love that part.
But anyway, Friday Night Lights, great show, and great show for a father of a teenage girl as well.
It was so cute. We taped the show on Friday for release on Saturday, and Petaluma just High School just let out, and all you know what the tradition is—you wear your football jersey.
Yep.
And I'm watching the boys, and they all have their girlfriend or maybe a couple of girls walking down the street, and they're wearing their jersey. And I saw one cute couple; she had the same number as he did. It was so cute.
Yeah.
So I guess their game is tonight,
probably.
Or it's probably this weekend.
That's
right.
So let's get to the spend, save, give segment. Why don't we?
Save and give.
Are
we going to buy shoes?
We might, but we're going to save on shoes if we buy shoes.
Okay.
I need your advice on that. But
spend
first,
is not coming up.
Spend is an article from the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, that's why.
Actually,
the
it's
journal.
Not anything that I'm going to buy, but perhaps you might. This is an interesting article.
The Wall Street Journal's down.
Oh, no. Well, anyway,
how
I'll tell you
be?
About the article. It's about the newest art collectors. They're buying their pieces with their tooth fairy money. So... What this
Wait
article is saying is
kids?
that kids are the newest art collectors. It's fascinating, and that a lot of
Wait
parents
a minute. Little kids.
Well, not like
so
my
parents
kids
are
age,
giving
but
them
maybe
an
your
art
kids
allowance.
Age. Yeah, a $5,000 art allowance, according to this article.
That's a little affluent.
Yeah, it's a little affluent.
$5,000.
But it's so fascinating. I mean, because it's part of this whole, like, baby Einstein movement of parenting.
Right.
Like, you know, my kid has to be smart. He has to listen to classical music.
He has to choose fine art.
Yeah. It's a pretty funny article to read.
Wow.
I don't know.
I want to read this article now.
Yeah.
So, obviously, these are very wealthy people.
Yeah.
And the idea is to teach the kids about art? No.
I guess, yeah. Or what they're saying, I mean... But the idea
is what I'd like to do is give $5 to my kid and say, either make some art or find some really good art for $5.
Right.
What's this $5,000, right?
Well, it's just, they're always looking for new art collectors. I don't know. I'm not a collector of fine art. I'm not an appreciator of it. So, it's just kind of seems a little silly to me. But
well, I love art. And I guess if I had a lot of money. But see, to me, and I have many artists in my family. My sister is an MFA from Columbia, a painter.
Jennifer is an artist.
Jennifer is a wonderful artist. My mom's an artist. My late aunt was a very well-known artist. So I have a lot of artists in the family, and I'm a little skeptical of the New York fine art scene. It really, a lot of it seems to be more about who you know, what gallery you're with,
right,
and whether your art is really great art.
Yeah. But what they're saying, one thing that they're saying that is interesting is like kids don't know. Yeah. They just like, I like this. I like this, $5,000 gum wrapper.
That scares
collage.
Me. That just scares me. I mean, you might as well just burn the money.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think it's a little scary to give a kid that much money and who knows what they're going to pick?
Yeah. I don't know.
Let me see, kid collectors. I'm going to see if I can find this because I really want to save this for later.
Yeah.
I'll put this up there with
Friday
Night
Lights. Well, you can find
it
at jumpymonkeys.com in the show notes that I put up after the show as
see
well.
See how useful that is.
Yeah. You can also find it at jumpymonkeys.tumblr.com where I put all of my
quick
interesting
stuff.
Links. Yeah. I don't do Delicious. I do just Tumblr.
Here's a letter to the editor in response to that article from Rick Riddell, Round Rock, Texas. As I was reading the article, Small Collectors... Wall Street Journal, September 14th. I had to look at the date of the issue, as I thought it must be April Fool's. Who's kidding home that a 4-year-old has an eye for collecting art? And an 11-year-old has an uncontrolled $352,000 to bid on a sculpture?
Yeah.
Really?
That's the other thing. They go to auctions, and they give them the paddles, and they can...
These kids are considered, quote, respected art collectors by galleries and have, quote, such a great eye for art because they have extraordinary amounts of money.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, the super rich are they're out there and they're leaving all their money to just their kids, you know, and it's interesting. I mean, we're in a whole new generation of, I was reading something recently about, you know, they have like camps for the rich kids, like not just your standard rich kid camp, but like something like to make your kid not turn out like Paris Hilton, sort of.
You that know, would be good.
Yeah. That's like the
it's
to
like
train.
Spank
yeah.
Camp.
Yeah.
They spank
well, to
you.
Train the heirs of all this money.
They should.
To, you know, to
they used
spend
to do
it wisely.
That. And when I, you know, in the Eastern establishment in New England, they would teach the kids about public service. That was what was important. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not, you know, you're there. You have a duty mm-hmm. to society.
Right.
Because you have such privilege. Right. They have some pictures of these kids. Dakota King is age 4 when she started collecting art. her collection has grown to 40 pieces. In the 5 years, and her favorite is an Andy Warhol panda.
Wow.
Spotted by her dealer at a Los Angeles county. Yeah, I'll be your dealer. Come here. Look, actually, you know yes. what, though? I want to say something. She has good taste.
Yeah.
The art that she's selected is quite good, except for this one, the Makeup Compact by Aaron Kennedy. Wow, this is one rich kid. And she's got a, you know, she takes art classes.
Yeah.
I'd really encourage kids to make art rather than
right.
learn how to buy art.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's move on to the
I'm
save.
Sorry. You got me excited.
Okay. Now, do you know anything about I-1?
Yeah. I think it's, I don't believe in I-1.
Yeah. I remember hearing bad things, but I wanted to ask you about this because this is a deal, a shoe buy. Because, you know, you're always buying shoes for your kids because their feet are growing really fast.
Lots of shoes.
So this is a shoe buy deal. You go to shoebuy.com/I1 and you save $10 on every order.
Okay.
Hopefully this will still be, it doesn't say an expiration date, so hopefully it'll still
That's
be around
a good deal.
When, you know, and free shipping and free returns. And they have tons of great shoes. I bought a pair of shoes for me and a pair of shoes for Annabella. And I don't
and you
think,
save 10 bucks each.
Yeah. And I wasn't signing up for I1 or anything. It just so I wonder, you know, what the
well,
deal is there.
Probably you're going to start.
I haven't gotten spam so far. It was about 2 weeks ago.
You're going to start getting email from I1. I get email from I1 because I signed up years ago for I1.
Yeah.
I1 was a search engine that had a kind of a, you know, it's hard to be a search. Even then, this was 5 years ago. It was hard to become a successful search engine.
Right.
So they had their little secret sauce was they gave what you'd win money by using them.
Yeah.
You know, they'd actually pay their users, I
right.
guess, you know, kind of a lottery thing. I'm surprised they're still around.
Yeah. I hadn't heard of them in a while, and this was just like a coupon code that I found somewhere. And, you know, I don't know, like, so you get spam from I1, and if you have a good spam filter, you just
filter it out.
Yeah.
Just more junk. But I would be aware of that. You know, clearly what I1 is getting out of this is your address.
Not my email address, but my physical
address.
Well,
they're getting information about you,
yeah.
right? And
mm-hmm.
and probably what you would want to do before you did this, and I'm looking and I don't see it, is read what the privacy
right.
statement is regarding this particular promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I have to say? They haven't put it in any prominent place.
Mm. So yeah, this was just something I wanted to present to you as a something to think
hey,
about.
You saved 10, you know, save 20 bucks you saved.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Cause you could do it on every order. Now we're going to the give section. This was recommended by Paul Siopic. He's a good friend of the show. And
yes.
you know,
single
wife,
dad.
Yeah, single yes. dad. He has twins and another child, and his wife passed away from melanoma last October. And he sent me a site for the give segment, and that's the Terry Fox Run. And we used to do this when I was a kid. It was just like, I think it's already passed by the time you might
Terry,
be listening to
Terry
this.
Fox was an amputee who ran all the way across Canada, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And was, I think is considered a real inspirational figure
right.
All around the world. And there's the Terry Fox Foundation. He's, you know, I guess in some ways, Lance Armstrong's kind of eclipsed Terry Fox as the, you know, the athlete, but he really is amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah. So yeah, a lot of schools participate in this run. I know I did it when
neat.
I was in
did
school
you?
And I didn't grow up in Canada either.
Yeah. That's really neat.
Yeah. So yeah. that's interesting. TerryFoxRun.org. You can check that out.
Single dream, a world of hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, he's also sponsoring the Great Canadian Head Shave.
Oh,
I guess you shave
your head for charity. Yeah.
For charity.
Yeah.
Wow.
Should
I
do
that?
Yeah, you totally should. Well, you know, you can give you if you're if you have really long hair, you can give your hair locks of love.
People need. Yeah, I think that's a really great idea.
Yeah, I might do that.
Yeah.
You
have beautiful
certain,
hair. You should do that. Yeah.
All right. So that's Spend, Save, Give. And if you guys have any recommendations for Spend, Save, Give, you can give us a call at our voicemail or You can email me at megan@twit.tv. So do you have our number available that we can
give? Yeah, because we've got so many calls, and I want to encourage you to call 707-981-4602.
All right. Now, before we get to Moxie, who we're going to interview later, and she's actually going to answer some of your parenting questions on the show, before we do that, we're going to do the Audible book pick of the week.
Oh, I can't wait. You know, I've come to look forward to this because you have such good books. You have such good taste in books.
Well, thank you. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about Audible, or should I tell you what the book pick is first?
Oh, no. Let me remind you that Audible is a sponsor of this netcast, in fact, of the whole Twit Network. We love audible.com. It's a great way to get audio books. You download them, and you can play them back on your computer. You can burn them to CD or play them back on any of 135 different devices, including all the iPods. I listen on my iPhone. Just finished the latest Anne Rice novel. Oh, I was sad when it ended. It's great. Really, I love that stuff.
Did you cry?
Yeah, because at the end, the vampires live forever.
Mm.
Yeah, made me cry. No, Audible's just a, you know, it's, I think, 35,000 plus books in every subject. It saved my life so many times. In fact, lately I've been driving carpool, which means 2.5 hours in the car to get my daughter. Because it's rush hour and she's up at in Santa Rosa.
I thought you took the bus.
Took the bus in and we carpool back. And I've been driving carpool. But you know what? It's funny. My wife will say, Abby needs a lift. I drove her in yesterday morning. She had to take a test at 7 a.m. I drove her in. Abby needs a lift. And I don't know. My wife must think I'm crazy. I go, okay, I'll do it. And you know why? Because it's my secret thing. I got my books in the car and I listen and I love it. In fact, I always am sad when a book ends, but then there's always another one. And that's what Megan's going to suggest is another book for us on Audible.
I'm going to suggest the Magic Treehouse series.
Now, I don't think I'll be listening to that in the car.
Probably not. I think your kids are.
We read all of those, though.
You did?
Yeah. Oh, I love the Magic Treehouse.
Yeah. And this
they have that on Audible?
Yeah, they do.
Oh,
and these
I love
are great
those.
Books for early readers and for kids, like I think, you know, 3 and up that are ready for short chapter books. And the reason I recommend them on Audible is I think it's a hard transition I've noticed. For Annabella, who is 4.5, to go from the pictures on every page to the pictures on every few pages.
Right.
And I think that listening to it has really helped her because then she'll just listen to it over and over again.
And they're only about an hour long.
Right. And then she gets an idea of the story and really starts to look forward to it. And I think these stories are great. So I recommend get them from Audible. And also they're tiny paperback books. I mean, they're pretty cheap, or you can get them from the library too.
We read them all. In fact, this is their early readers. So Annabelle is a little young, but in a couple of years, she could read these herself.
Right, exactly.
Oh, they're in fact, I think they may be among the first books that the kids read.
Yeah.
Really great.
So the Magic Treehouse series, and
love
you can get that
them.
Link from our show notes at jumpingmonkeys.com. And you usually put the audiobook at twit.tv, too. You're pretty good about that.
Yes. Yeah, well, I put a link in so you can download
so you can
it directly.
Get that.
And I do want to encourage you, if you're not yet a member of Audible, you should find out more about Audible. It's just a wonderful place. You can go to audible.com/monkeys. That's kind of our special page. We'll get credit for it. And when you do that, by the by, you get a credit toward a free book. So it could be a Magic Treehouse book or any number of great books. There are 35,000. Did I mention that in all?
Wow.
Jumping Monkeys special link is audible.com/monkeys.
Excellent.
And we thank Audible for their support.
So before we get to my video pick of the week and some more links and emails and voicemails from you guys, I think we should talk to Moxie.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. Now, Moxie, she's at askmoxie.org. She's had this internet advice column for quite a while, and she's not an expert, and she just thinks that you are the best parent for your child, and I think that's a great philosophy. But she's really good at just... I want to say listening but she's really reading the emails, but it's a great site and you can search through the archives, and I'm really excited that she came on to talk to us today.
Let's say hi to Moxie.
So, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about Ask Moxie?
Well, Ask Moxie is a parenting advice blog, and it started because I was just a mom blogger, I guess, and I was making friends with all these other mom bloggers, and I was also hanging out a lot in the infertile blogger community because I had a friend and a family member who were going through in vitro, and I wanted to know what the process was like for them emotionally so I could be there for them. So anyway, all these women in the infertility community started getting pregnant and were having these problems and issues, and I just started sort of leaving comments that were mostly supportive and sometimes saying, you know, this or that, because I tend to sort of be a little bit of a Cliff Clavin about pregnancy and breastfeeding and stuff like that.
You know, Did you know that the average human can create 16
exactly.
Pounds? Yeah, that's good.
Exactly. One of my friends from my playgroup when my older son was little called me once the Cliff Clavin of nursing, and I thought it was funny. So I would just leave these comments, and then people started saying, you know, I knew before I even read the name that it was you because your tone is always the same. And then people started saying, why don't you start an advice blog and we could just ask you questions? And I thought that was hysterical. I just thought it was really, really funny. So then I thought, well, why not do it? And so I did it right around Thanksgiving of when? Of 2005. My younger son was 6 months old, and I just did it on a lark. I thought it would be funny. And I think about 200 people looked at that first post I wrote, and most of them were people who were reading my personal blog or who were sent there by other people who were reading the personal blog. But it just has kind of grown and sort of spiraled out of my understanding. And I'm getting, I don't know, at this point, probably 25,000 page views a week. So.
Oh. Wow. And so do you answer a question every day?
Yes, I do answer a question every day, Monday through Friday. And I try to put up some kind of product review on Fridays of like a DVD or a book or some sort of product, just so there's something there if people check in on the weekend. But I don't always actually get to that. I don't have time to read as many books as I used to.
So you have a very unique philosophy. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
You know, I'm not actually sure that my philosophy is so unique. I just think that a lot of people are afraid to say it. My philosophy is that everybody knows what's best for their own kid, and that we really are all in this together, and that parenting sucks in a lot of ways that nobody is allowed to admit to, because if you say this or that sucks or I feel like I'm doing a crappy job, then people think, oh, that means she doesn't love her kids, or oh, that means she's a bad mother. And I don't think that's true. I think there are a lot of aspects of parenting that are awful, but I think we all love our children, and we're just really trying to do the best we can do, which, frankly, is enough. So I guess what I'm trying to do is be a voice out there saying that. Like, you know, if you yelled at your kid today, really, it's okay. Just stop, move on. You might not yell at your kid tomorrow. And even if you do, your kid's going to be okay because your kid knows you love them.
Right. So it's really unique in an advice columnist, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I kind of bill myself as the anti-expert because I don't have any training besides just being a mother. And I also try not to give people advice in terms of telling them what to do. I try to pull things apart so they can see more clearly what all their options are.
You know, I think this is clear that it's more of a conversation than anything else. Every post has many, many comments on it.
Oh, absolutely. And it would be no fun, and I wouldn't feel like it was really worth anything if it was just me dispensing advice. You know, because what's the use of that? The whole point is trying to make people feel like they're not isolated, and so you have to have these other people chiming in. And, you know, half the time I don't have any direct experience with what the person is talking about. You know, I mean, there's a post recently about what's the best method for potty training. Well, my first son pretty much potty trained himself, so I can't say, hey, I know this and that about potty training. I said, I know this about potty training. If you have a kid who potty trains himself, it's really easy. But I have to let everybody else tell you what they did. And sure enough, people jumped in because, you know, they're willing to talk about what it is that they did and what worked for them and what didn't. The thing I do definitely try to encourage is sort of this sense that it's just all a big experiment and that everyone's kid and that everyone is different. So you can say what worked for you, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the thing that's going to work for someone else. And I kind of think that's a freeing place for some of the commenters who are getting a lot of, you have to do this from other people. But this idea that, oh, you know, just try this if it doesn't work, try this if it doesn't work, try this, you know, kind of frees you up to be a normal person instead of having to be perfect.
Yeah, because none of us are. I think that's a mature, I think that's in a way a mature viewpoint that a lot of adults get about their own parents. At some point they realize, oh, they were doing the best they could. And that, yeah. and even if you had really a crappy childhood and awful parents, in most cases, that was just the best they were capable of. They did what they could.
Right. Right. Yeah. I put a post up, it went up September 13th. And it was just a sort of inviting discussion about how when you first have children, a lot of times you feel so much rage and hurt at either the people who raised you, the people who raised your partner, whatever adults are sort of in that mix, because you're starting to feel your way as a parent, and it just brings back all these emotions. And one of the things I was saying, and some of the other commenters were saying, was that this whole parenting process has allowed them to tap into the anger that they feel, but also forgive the people who did those things to them, because they realize, yes, it hurt me, and it's okay for me to say it hurt me, but they were really just trying to do the best that they did, too.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that, you know, the best parents are ones not necessarily that had a great childhood, but that have been able to make peace with whatever kind of childhood right. they did have, whether it be not so great. Or
well, it's important,
great.
Too, because you're not acting in reaction to your parents either. You know, while, you know, if you had smothering parents being overly permissive and vice versa, you need that's. But that's part of why parenting is such a is such an important part of for your own development. You have to deal with all this stuff in order to be a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, and it really is a process. I think that's another thing I'm trying to do with the blog, is to help people not feel so helpless and emotional about situations, but to be able to take a step back and say, this is all just a process, and let me look at this from another angle and say, all right, how are all these things working to create this result when instead what I want is this result, and take the emotion out of it instead of saying I should be doing this, but what could I be doing, and are the trade-offs worth it to me? Right. I think that's also a message a lot of people aren't necessarily getting.
What do you find particularly challenging about being a parent? it's a long list, I know.
Well, currently what I'm finding really, really challenging is that my older son has to be at kindergarten 20 minutes before I had to leave the house to go to work before. Ugh. So now instead of just having myself ready to leave the house and leaving them in their pajamas with the babysitter eating breakfast, I have to leave a full 35 minutes before that with both of them dressed, their lunches packed, me ready for work, my lunch, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that logistical challenge. I think from an emotional perspective, I think that the thing I struggle with the most at this point is feeling like I'm not fun for them in the same way that their dad is. You know, he is very much of a playing kind of dad. Like, they go out to the playground and they'll just play for hours and hours and hours and hours. And that's not me. And it was perfect when they were little because I was the one who was nursing and snuggling and all that kind of stuff. But now, you know, I can still do all the basic caretaking. I can snuggle them. I can talk to them about how their day went. But you know, what does it mean to not be the fun one?
Yeah, they're really happy when dad gets home. It's like, oh, dad's here.
Exactly. And with me, it's like, hey, what's for dinner?
Right. I think that's a complaint that I'm at our house. And my wife's always saying, would you please discipline the kids more so they don't see you as their friend and me as their enemy? You know, we have to do this as partners.
Right.
And I think that's for, I've talked to many dads who are proud to be the fun dad or the fun parent. And I don't know if that's such a good thing.
You know, I don't necessarily know that it's a bad thing either, because, I mean, as far as I can tell, all the adult men who were raised sort of with that divide in their own parents don't have any sort of loathing for their mothers. They, you know, they have a relationship with their mothers.
That's
it seems to me almost just like the stage that you have to go through. And I remember sort of feeling not the same way, but in a similar way when my older son was about 5 or 6 months old, when he wasn't really babe in arms anymore and my breasts weren't sort of his whole world. You know, because you go through that phase where if you're nursing, the only thing your kid's ever really interested in is your breasts. And then all of a sudden they're interested in the rest of the world. And when you're not the middle of it anymore, how do you relinquish that? And it's a process, I think, of realizing it's okay if you're not the only one that your child is interested in. And I think right now I'm going through that same sort of transition phase, only, you know, my breasts don't really have anything to do with it at this point. Nice.
I'd like to point out that this is why your blog is so popular. Look at the conversation that you engender in people. And that's what your blog is, too. You're very good, obviously, at starting the conversation and including others. It's really great.
Well, I try to be. I really try to be.
So what is the question or answer that has gotten like the most heated response on your site?
You know what? I honestly think that the topic that has gotten the most heated response was when I reviewed the book, The Dangerous Book for Boys. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it.
My son just got it for his 13th birthday. Grandpa, the fun one, gave it to him.
And does he love it?
Oh, yeah. Although he wishes it were more dangerous. He got his hopes up. He thought, oh, it's going to give me, you know, recipes for explosives and stuff.
I know. I think that that page probably would have said, for legal reasons, we can't do this. Please go to Google and search recipes for explosives. Yeah.
So did you love it or not?
I loved it. Now, for people who are listening who haven't heard of it, it was written by these two British brothers, and it's basically all these things that boys think are cool, like signal flag codes and how to start a fire with just a pocket knife and, you know, stuff like that, and Latin phrases every boy should know, and how to skip a stone, and the Navajo Windtalkers code and all this kind of stuff. And I reviewed it, and I said that I thought it was great, and it didn't matter to me that it was called The Dangerous Book for Boys. And then I got these heated responses saying, well, why should it just be for boys? Why couldn't it be for kids? And so then in the comment section, I kind of stuck my foot in my mouth and said, well, I don't really know girls who at that age would have been interested in a lot of the stuff in this book. Well, okay, I mean, that was a dumb thing to say, because I'm sure that been interested in it, just not me and girls I was hanging out with when I was 9. And so then that invited some more discussion, and a lot of people were getting really heated, and it seemed like there was a very strong divide, parents of girls versus parents of boys. And the parents of boys, which I am, I have 2 boys, were saying, finally, at last, something that's just for boys that they're allowed to say is just for boys. Because I think a lot of us feel like there's all this stuff that's specifically for girls, but we're not really allowed to say that there's stuff specifically for boys. Whereas the girl parents were saying, why does it have to just be for boys, because all the girl stuff is substandard? And what they were saying is all the girl stuff is, first of all, pink. Second of all, Disney princesses, or even worse, brats. And so why can't there just be something gender neutral? Well, yeah, I mean, I guess, how can you say which side is right, you know? And
There's good stuff for girls. Come on, there's... My son had no interest in American Girl dolls, but my daughter had a lot of interest in American Girl dolls when we went to the American Girl
Museum.
Yeah, but
American Girl dolls are so, so expensive. And, I mean, it seems to me like you're always running into this problem. If you want something that is not enforcing these crazy, draconian, ridiculous gender roles, you have to pay a lot more money.
That's
because
interesting.
You're having to buy the all-wooden toys, or the board games made in Germany, or the this and the can't that. You can't just walk into Toys R Us and buy something for $5 because it's gender segmented.
Well, why is that?
Because
Excel? I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's got to be, at bottom, it's got to be because it works, right? I mean,
I don't know if it works as much as it sells. I mean, Big Macs sell too, but we're getting fatter and fatter and having more health problems.
Well, okay, yes, you're right. It doesn't work for people, maybe, but it works for those companies. People are buying it, and apparently they're I don't know. I don't understand.
Well, they're buying it because that's sometimes all there is right. for that cost.
But if right, there were a demand exactly. for gender neutral, inexpensive gender neutral toys, why wouldn't those things exist? Is there something about cheap toy makers that they don't get it?
I don't know. I think maybe they don't. You know, I still think, you know, in my household, the Mega Bloks, well, and now the Legos are still the most popular toys, and those are totally gender neutral.
Yeah, but they're not cheap.
No, they're not cheap at all. Yeah. The Mega Bloks are cheap enough. The Legos aren't
right.
cheap, and they're certainly not cheap when they're digging into your foot in the middle of the night.
That's a very high cost.
I'm glad to be through that stage. We're through that stage, thank goodness.
Well, the good news about the Dangerous Book for Boys is that they decided to do the Daring Book for Girls, and they got authors who actually know about girls, because the fear then when they announced that they were doing this book for girls was that it was going to be how to throw a tea party.
Right.
How to write secret codes so you can write vicious notes to your friends and your other friends won't be able to read them, you know, all this kind of stuff. But they got Andy Buchanan and, now I feel horrible because I can't remember who else it is, to write the Daring Book for Girls. And that's coming out, I think, in November. And I'm going to be one of the ones reviewing it. And I'm wondering what the discussion about that is going to be, because I'm not as knowledgeable about what girls are up to these days just because I don't have girls. So I guess I can review it from the point of view of would I have liked it when I was a girl.
That'll be a bestseller, though. It'll be a bestseller, I guarantee you.
I hope it is.
Yeah,
I really hope it is.
Miriam Peskowitz, by the way, is the other
one. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank Google.
Thank Google. Multiple times a day.
So we had some, I asked for questions and we got a few questions. Did you feel like answering?
I saw them. Do you want to do the dramatic reading of the question or do you want to?
Sure, I'll do the dramatic reading of the question. This is from Deanne and she says, I'm wondering if anyone else has this problem. My 3-year-old daughter refuses to sleep unless I am with her in the room. If I leave after she falls asleep, she wakes up screaming. That was in all caps. That's my dramatic read. I'm getting little or no sleep. What do I do?
Oh, and then the P.S.
Oh, yeah, P.S. We have even put a twin bed in her room just so I do not have to attempt to sleep on the floor or worse, sitting up.
Actually, before you answer, Moxie, I was having this discussion with a bunch of older parents, as I am, and we did Ferber, and I just wondered, I said, I don't think they do Ferberizing anymore.
People do Ferberizing, but I think for a 3-year-old, it doesn't so much work because a 3-year-old can just get up and walk out of the room.
They have to be trapped in the crib for that.
Yeah, this is in fact the exact problem I'm dealing with my twins right now. So I'm eager for your answer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody what to do. I guess I'm just
going
to out. No, I mean, I'm going to say you have all these options and it's all a trade-off. Like, you know, what are you willing to do and what are you not willing to do? And there are some people who would happily say, let me just sleep in this twin bed because I don't want to deal with it. And, you know, it's not as much of an issue to me where I'm sleeping as it is that my kid is not screaming and that I'm actually getting some sleep. And I think that's a totally valid option. If you're willing to just sleep in the twin bed, it's certainly better than sleeping on the floor. I mean, you know, I've fallen asleep on the floor a number of times when my older one was little. And, you know, you wake up and you're drooling on the carpet and your back hurts. I guess a 3-year-old is verbal enough that she can probably indicate what exactly it is that's making her scream. And it seems like she could be afraid of something. You know, this is an age where kids get the whole monster fear. And if it is something like that, then Tien could come up with some kind of monster scarer. You know, I've heard of people filling a spray bottle with water and saying it's anti-monster spray and spraying around. We have one of those little cats that they have, those figurines that are in a lot of Chinese restaurants, the cat with the raised paw that's supposed to bring good fortune to the Chinese restaurants, but in our house it's the monster scare, and the cat puts its paw up, and that scares away the monsters. And well, it was monsters with my older one. My little one is obsessed with monkeys, and he thinks monkeys are going to come in the window. Anyway, the monkeys are scared of the cat, and they can't come in. So if it's some kind of fear like that, then that's something really concrete that you can deal with. Otherwise, it seems like maybe Deanne just needs to talk to her daughter and say something like, you know, big girls go sleep in their rooms by themselves and you're going to be a big girl on, and then pick some kind of day that's, you know, a week or two off, and then have some sort of countdown to being a big girl where she talks about, well, what's going to happen when you go to sleep and what happens if you wake up? And do you think you're going to need a nightlight? Do you think you're going to need a cup of water next to your bed? You know, this kind of stuff, and get her daughter involved in the decision making and the setting the scene of it, and also give her enough fair warning and kind of make it seem like it's going to be this big fun big girl thing. And then the hope is that when it actually becomes a big girl sleep by herself day, that it will actually work. You know, I mean, it could, of course, fail miserably, but at least Deanne has had something to try. And if it works, then it works for nothing more than a couple of weeks and the cost of a nightly.
I just wish my kids would let me sleep with them now. I kind of miss that.
How old are your kids?
They're 13 and 15. See, that's the funny thing from this end. The perspective from this end is, gee, that's great. You know, I wish they'd let me do that. But that's the other thing is when you're in the middle of it, it seems like it's going on forever. But everything goes very quickly. In hindsight, you know, it's all over very fast.
Yeah, the minutes go by slowly and endlessly, but the months go by quickly.
Yeah, it's also I tend to think of my children as, you know, I don't really care what they do as long as I can anticipate it. That's what I, you know, that's my issue of control. Like, as long as I know what you're going to do, then do whatever you want. But it's the fact that you have no idea what they're going to do next that just drives me insane.
Right.
Unpredictability.
Yes, I don't like that. So we got another question, and this was an anonymous question. Ed, I have a question about my toddler who pitches a fit when he doesn't get his way. He'll be doing something he's not supposed to do, gets a warning outlining what will happen if he doesn't stop, the consequences happen, and he pitches a fit. I realize that's not unexpected, but he's not changing his behavior before or after, and the fits are really getting old. There's a lot more in that question.
This must be a common category you get, which is essentially, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do and it doesn't work.
Yeah, and I think, well, later in the question, it goes on to say he's 22 months old and his vocabulary is very limited.
Well, there you go.
That's pretty much the key to the problem. Mm-hmm. The other thing that is in the question is at the end she says she's our second child, but our first child didn't do this kind of stuff and was verbal very early, so we didn't have much experience with the situation. The other thing I noticed was that she was giving him a warning outlining what will happen if he doesn't stop. I think for most 22-month-old, that's kind of too complicated a story. At 22 months old, you really just need to hear stop or don't stop in your head. And even if you hear stop, you still don't have that impulse control. But I think giving him the warning, telling him what's going to happen is just unnecessary complication. And almost, from her perspective, from the mom's perspective, is certainly not negotiation. But it seems like from the 22-month-old perspective, it seems like, okay, she's talking. There's some wiggle room here. So I think I would just try to stay the course with the stuff that you do with an even younger toddler, which is just no or stop. You take the toy away. You try to distract with something else. Or even better than that, if you can do it, although, I mean, it's hard enough to do with just one kid. I don't really know how you can do it with two, because I haven't been able to do it with my second one, is try to catch the kid before the kid actually does the throwing and physically help the child move their hand to a different position. Because, you know, it's always better to be able to help a child stop doing something they're not supposed to than discipline them for doing it after the fact. But it seems also like part of the outlining and explaining what's going to happen is because she has that older child who she can talk to. You know, I mean, I find myself doing the same thing. Like, my 5.5-year-old definitely understands what's going to happen if certain things happen. And then I realize I'm talking to my 2.5-year-old the same way. Well, you know, he just doesn't process the same way. All he knows is stop or don't stop. And so I think maybe shortening the process and just saying no, and then if it happens, taking the toy away, it's not going to stop the pitching a fit, but it's going to make the whole cycle shorter. And so eventually, when there's no wiggle room in there with the outlining what's going to happen, her 22-month-old might just stop the pitching a fit when it doesn't work. Or he'll just grow out of it, and then it won't be a problem.
So what you're saying is basically they 22 month olds might understand consequences, but there's no point in explaining it. That's just taking up too much time.
Right, exactly. It's taking up too much time. And even if they do understand the consequences, they can't really stop their impulses.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess just trying to be as decisive as possible is going to shorten the hurt for everybody. I don't know. Yeah, I don't negotiate with terrorists. And
That's good. So just tell a 22-month-old that. Excuse me, I don't negotiate with terrorists.
I am absolutely going to use that line at home now.
And look at the blank look you get.
You need to start an advice radio show.
Yeah, she's good.
Yeah.
She could totally do this.
Yeah.
Off the cuff.
You know, I would totally love to start an advice radio show, but I think it would be really kind of funny because sometimes I have to think about what I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah. First thing you learn in radio, never think. Yeah. No. Thinking, no, that's bad.
Well, and sometimes I read emails that people send me and I laugh inappropriately. You know, like, I mean, people write things about something that their mother-in-law is doing, and, you know, it's making the person feel so horrible, but I just read it and I think, okay, that's really horrible. How can a person do that? But it's kind of funny at the same time because you're doing something that's so ridiculous, and I think that might be hurtful for people.
Nah, go for it. Nah. I love it. Well, it's been such a pleasure talking to you, and I can see now why you're so popular. I mean, it's just... you create this environment where people want to participate. That's the key to a good blog, I think.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah.
So you can find Moxie at Moxie Blogs?
Moxie.blogs.
It's askmoxie.org.
Oh, that's okay. Easy. MOXIE.
Yeah, askmoxie.org.
You're the nonprofit Ask Moxie.
AskMoxie.com was taken. I don't know who has it.
Somebody else has the profit for the for-profit Ask Moxie.
Exactly.
Hey, it's great talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks.
That is Moxie, who doesn't use her real name.
No, and I didn't even tell it to you, so you wouldn't accidentally use it.
Yeah, because it could slip out. I don't know her real name. I don't know where she works. It's kind of a secret.
Yeah, so that's it. She's at AskMoxie.org. And it was great to talk to her. It was really nice.
I like her a lot.
Yeah.
And I would listen to her advice, but mostly because it's so non-judgmental.
Yeah, it really is. And so, yeah, before you send her a question, you should search through her archives. They're pretty well
organized.
She's
answered a lot of things.
She really has. Answered a question every day.
Yeah.
Well, every weekday.
Now it's time for a new feature on the show.
Yeah, the YouTube video of the week. Now, this has been traveling around, and several people have sent it to me. So this is a guy who sang a little song to his, wrote this little song for his children. It's called Pachelbel's Bedtime. And I think since it's up on YouTube, I think we should play it.
Oh, I'm sure we can.
Yeah.
Based on, I presume, Pachelbel's Canon
mm-hmm.
D. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a beautiful piece of music. And I don't know if this is the guy who posted it. It's from DDBBCC333. I don't know. Is that him?
I think that is him.
Okay.
Because he has some other posts of other songs he's done with his kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, DDBBCC333.
Why don't you want to say goodnight? Why is it that you do not go to your bed and sleep tight until the morning light has come and cast its haze upon your eyes, and then you wake to greet the day God has made and rejoice, for you are part of it? Why do you insist upon the crying and the moaning and the whining and the screaming and the tantrums and the yelling and the kicking and the snacking and the biting and the hissies, the one more drink of water and the one more book, please, Daddy? And now I just want you to go to sleep. I don't want to hear a peep from either one. The day is well past done, and I'm about to lose my mind. I'm gonna tear up your behind, so night and night, and don't let the bed bugs bite. It is so quiet and so peaceful in this once chaotic house. We all are sleeping and we're dreaming, and it's quiet as a mouse. But what is that familiar sound? Tiptoeing nearer, little steps approaching closer. No, it can't be what I'm fearing, and it's not. It's just the cat, and she is purring so contently, and she snuggles at my feet. To be sure, it's quite endearing. My lids relieve my eyes of all the stress that they were feeling, and I turn my head to sleep, but then I feel somebody staring, and then she's staring right at me. Her eyes are glazed with sleep. I nearly wet the sheets upon my bed. Her lips are trembling as she speaks. Now there's color in her cheeks. She looks so frail. My heart begins to swell. She lays beside me and she breathes so easily. Her dreams are happy and she sighs a tender sigh so peacefully. She knows her mommy and her daddy and her sissy love her greatly. And we sleep throughout the nighttime, never ever more sedately. And now morning casts its light upon the pillow where her head begins to stir. I try to wake her so her kind and gentle dreams I don't disturb. But as I pull her from her slumber ever slowly, I know in my heart of hearts exactly where this all is going. And the crying and moaning and the whining and the screaming and the
"Daddy, you're so mean, how could you interrupt my dreaming?"
The brushing of the hair and then the clothes they hate to wear. I need the check to pay daycare. I can't forget her teddy bear. And then I sign her in at her own school. Off the work I travel to, my mind's a wreck. I keep hearing songs from Shrek. I work all day and then go home. All my stress is mostly gone. My kids I see and I pull them in closely. Then we start to do the homework and the dinner must be started, and gymnastics and piano, and the groceries must be carted. And the smallest one is crying, won't you hold me like she's dying? And the oldest one's frustrated with her homework, knows she's trying. And dinner's on the table, but it's cold because we waited for the children to get back from practicing all their cheerleading. Now the broccoli is so nasty, the macaroni's pasty, and the meat is tough as leather, really the thing is quite tasty. So the crying and the moaning and the screaming and the whining start again, but now the target is asleep. It's home, I'm dining, and I raise my hands in wonder as I look around the table. How can anyone survive? Is anyone out there enabled? Then I think about the laughter when times are not so hectic. And I know that though my stomach ache is slightly not gone peptic, I see their smiling faces as on swings I push them gently. When I hold their little hands, life could not go more contently. So the crying and the moaning and the screaming and the kicking play a very tiny part of all the time my life is ticking. And the good outweighs the bad. I am more happy than I'm sad. For all of this I should be glad. I've had it better than my dad. You bet I have.
Wow, that was so great.
Wasn't that sweet? I feel like I need to do more research to find out who he is. I feel bad playing it without even saying his name.
Well, he's got three videos on YouTube. Clearly, he's extremely talented. This one's been up for about 5 months and 500,000 views. So, but he's a great singer.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does encapsulate parenthood. And you have to watch the video because his daughter and his wife make an appearance. They come at the end. And then at the end, she leans her head on his shoulder. It's true, isn't it? In every way. I mean, it's a really accurate description of parenthood.
But it's what I love about YouTube, that like she just kind of walks in, like she has no idea that half a million people are going to be watching
casual.
Her dad, you know, because he's so talented. That's what I love, you know.
It's so sweet. He's got Spoiled Bumblebee and Sneetches also.
Yeah, so it's Paca Bell's Bedtime. And that's on YouTube, and we'll put the link to that. I just think that is really funny.
I bet you every parent in the world has sent that email out, right? Don't you think?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So I wanted to let you know that we got a little shout out in the official Gmail blog.
We did.
Yes. There's, Gmail is just a collaborative blog, a bunch of people that work at Google, I'm assuming on Gmail. And one that I saw the other day was Tips from a Digital Mom. And some people sent this to me that she had linked to our podcast and to Jumpy Monkey's blog. And I was pretty excited about
Mothers
that.
Mothers of twins stick together.
Yeah, she
they?
Is a mom of twins, and not just moms of twins, but and a singleton. She has another child as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's written by Jen Grant, and maybe we'll get her on the show, too.
Jen Digital Mom Grant. She's the group product marketing manager for Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the shout-out, Jen, and give us a shout yourself. We'd love to get you on the show.
Yeah, so should we do some voicemails or for some emails
first?
We
got a lot of voicemail. Let's mix it up. What do you say? We'll start with a voicemail, and then we'll get to some emails, and maybe we can go back to some voicemail.
Sounds good.
We should mention that, was it last week I talked about my daughter?
Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I think.
She is 15 and a half in one day.
Oh, her birthday.
Today.
Oh.
The 22nd.
Hmm.
No, that was last week.
Yeah.
We're a week ahead. So last week she's had her 15th and a half birthday. Now in California, that means you get a learner's permit, but you first have to take a test.
Right.
The problem is, and this is what I brought up on the show, and I asked for your advice. Her mom has been letting her drive a little bit.
Her mom, your wife.
That woman I'm married to. And we have a little debate about it. Now, she's not letting her drive on the street. Well, kind of. We live in a cul-de-sac. It's
right.
I mean, it's not, there's nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big cul-de-sac, too. I mean, it's like...
It's hilly.
It's hilly, and there's curves and stuff. And so there's not, you know, I mean, it is, but it is a city street, I guess.
Right.
You know, it's got a sign and everything.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of traffic. But she's been letting her do a little bit of that. And I keep saying, don't, because, you know, anyway, we have some interesting responses, starting with this from Bel Air, Maryland.
Hey, Megan and Leo. I'm going to keep this brief. Definitely go have learner's permit test before letting your daughter drive. If California law is anything like Maryland law, if she's caught driving without a license or a learner's permit, she can't get a license until 18.
I think I mentioned that to her.
And all the learner's test is just making sure she understands the laws of the road. At least in Maryland, it's a computerized test. I don't see why you're going to put her on the road before she's taken that test and understands the laws that you're dealing with. Good luck with the show. Have fun.
She is going to take the test. In fact, you have to take a class first. She's going to take the class and the test this weekend and next. But this was before she could even do that.
Yeah.
Right. So it was a little. Anyway, that's one response. This one go ahead.
That one, I don't think you said your name, that person.
He didn't
say
his name.
Don't forget to say your name.
Yeah,
so.
We want to know who you are. We know you're in Maryland. That's all we know.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jeff from Salt Lake City, I think.
Hey, this is Jeff in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm 22, and when I first was learning to drive, I actually had my parents take me down to the school's driving range, and then I drove around there, and then they drove back home before I had my learner's permit. So I think as long as it would be on, like, private property, there's no reason if everyone feels comfortable about doing it. And as far as out on the real streets, though, no way. Not whatsoever. So, all right. Have a good show, guys.
Thanks, Jeff. I think I heard myself in the background on that.
Yeah.
He's listening to a podcast while he's calling us. So,
multitasking.
Anyway, there seems to be some agreement that you shouldn't do it on city streets.
Right.
And I don't know. Anyway. Basically, I put my foot down. No. Parking lot, maybe. But anyway, she's going to take this. It's
right.
a moot point.
It's a
now.
Moot point. But for others who are dealing with the same problem.
Yeah. I mean, that's a bad idea. I don't know where my wife got that idea.
She just wants her to, you know, she was learning Spanish when she was two. You know, she wants to learning geometry when she was six.
She wants to
learn
to
everything
game.
Early.
Yeah. Abby is an impatient young lady. That's you know her. I think that's the best way to describe it, don't you think? She's kind of impatient.
Right.
She just, you know. So let's get some emails.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. This is a message from Doug of Geek Acres. He says, hey there, monkeys. Here's a question that may see some convergence between the TwitCasts.
Mm.
My 5-year-old son loves our digital camera. I am both excited about his interest and yet nervous to hand over the family digital camera.
Five? You bet.
Five. I've looked at several kids' cameras, but have been left largely unimpressed. Any suggestions, preferably something with a preview screen? See, you know, Annabella, I don't know if I told you this, but once I was taking pictures in her room and then I accidentally left the camera in there during her quiet time, which is, you know, about an hour and a half. And I found it, you know, the next day. And then I went to download the pictures and there were like 70 pictures that she'd taken of just things
cute.
In her room. And they were like actually framed, you know, like there were
so
things
cute.
In the frame, like she had the ceiling down her laundry basket. And I was thinking about this answer and I'm sure you have a better answer. But, you know, I feel like I've gone through a lot of digital cameras, especially there was a point where like the, you know, a 2-megapixel or 1-megapixel camera was really as much as I could afford. And then pretty soon after, you know, you could buy the same 3 or 4-megapixel camera. So I don't know. I mean, it seems like you could probably find
an old one.
Yeah. On eBay or, you know, if you don't have one yourself or friends want to maybe sell one to you that they just sit in drawers. Right. I mean, that's where mine is.
I agree with you. Cause I mean, you don't want to give them a fancy
mm-hmm.
camera because they get it smudged up or
right.
they crack something. But you're right. I think it's really good to encourage this. I mean, if they have an eye for a visual eye for photography, they should be doing it. And mm-hmm. digital makes it so easy for them to do that.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's a great idea. Buy one old, used one on eBay. Maybe you have an old one lying around yourself.
Yeah.
They're not. I mean, and the truth is, even new ones now have gotten so inexpensive.
Right.
You know, there is a little bit of a, there's an MP4 camera. It's a video camera that does stills, and I think it's around $100. Mm. They're very inexpensive. They're little handhelds. They can do kind of, the quality's not great. It's probably 1 or 2 megapixels, and the video camera is pretty lousy, but they can do video,
right.
And they can do stills. And that, I think, is kind of a good camera for kids. I can't remember the name of it, but I think we reviewed it on the GizWiz.
But a lot of those digital cameras for kids are kind of overpriced for a pretty low camera.
No, I wouldn't get that.
Camera,
yeah, I wouldn't get it. A kid camera, I think, is a good idea.
No.
Yeah. I'll look for the... let's listen to another email, and then I'll look for... While we're doing that, I'll look for the name of that little handheld video camera.
Okay.
This is Willie from Lafayette.
Megan, Leo, Willie from Lafayette, Louisiana, responding to two questions from this week's episode. Number one, absolutely, positively give your...
That's it. I don't know what to do.
Did it get cut off?
I don't know what to do now. Absolutely, positively do something.
What happened to it?
It's it. That's it. He hung up.
He sounded like he was maybe on his cell phone in the
car. Absolutely, positively, Willie. What? Wait a minute. Here's another one.
Okay.
Let's see.
Is it from the same guy?
Yeah, I think he called back.
Okay, good.
Leo, Megan, from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Yes.
First question, Leo.
Yes.
Absolutely, positively.
What?
Give Abby as much experience behind the wheel.
Really?
As much supervised experience, I should say, behind the wheel, prior to you having to give her the keys. For her to operate the vehicle,
I think
on her own, it'll make you feel better. It'll make her feel better.
Yeah,
and it'll make us drivers feel better too.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And as for the children's reality television, let's all vote by turning our TVs off.
Mm-hmm.
This reality epidemic is getting out of hand, and we as consumers need to vote with our remotes. And thanks to quality options like the Twit Network, it's becoming more and more of a possibility, more and more of a pleasure to turn our TVs off. So thanks for the programs.
What a nice thing to say.
Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Willie. And you know, I agree with him. I did not watch that show. What is it, Kid Nation?
Yeah, we talked about Kid Nation, that show where they took a bunch of kids.
And I think that's exactly the right way to respond to it.
Yeah, I think a lot. I think when we talked about it, we thought, oh, well, they're not even going to air it. But I think they did. And I think, sadly,
it was ratings.
Yeah, good ratings, too. Yeah, I just think, that surprisingly, the TV executives know more about what people are going to watch than we do.
Well, no television network ever went wrong by, pandering to the lowest form of, it's terrible. I hate it.
Yeah. But what he says is really interesting. I mean, we can vote by turning off our TVs,
right.
And we have so many other options now. Like, just because there are so many people, watching this or American Idol or whatever everybody's watching, there's a lot of people finding different media, that they're watching or reading or listening to. Yeah. Or,
we can vote, but we don't. We watch the darn thing. In fact, I even read an article about a high school that showed it in the school.
Really?
Now, I'm hoping that the teacher did it to, talk about the issues involved.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I think that's the best way to do that.
But, they must have known that all the negative press they got just got people to watch it.
Right.
Didn't
hurt.
Sadly.
Sigh.
So, do we, I think I might have one more email.
Okay. Because I'm out of voicemails.
Okay.
I do want to encourage you, if you want to voicemail us, in fact, we'd love to hear what you think of Kid Nation and what your opinion is on this, is 707-981-4602. 707-981-4602.
This last email comes from Scott. He says he's a longtime Screensavers fan and big fan of the Jumping Monkeys podcast. He said, I have a relatively cheap tech product I would suggest for the podcast. I am the dad of Emmy, who is 16 months old. Since she was about 6 or 7 months old, she loves playing with a computer. We bought her a toy computer, but that wasn't enough. She knows the real thing, and that is what she wants.
She wants a computer. None of this toy stuff.
Exactly. But while I don't mind her pounding on the keyboard and mouse, it can screw up the OS or apps that are running. But then I found some great software for babies. It is giggles.net, www.giggles.net. It works on Mac or PC.
Basically, you launch it and kids can punch keys, pound the keyboard, or move the mouse and things like that. The nice thing is that it's tough to quit the app, so kids are safe to do whatever they want. My daughter loves the software. She really thinks that she's being just like Daddy when he works on the computer.
She is, actually. That's exactly what Daddy
is. He's just banging on the computer. Yes. Things are coming up.
Yep, that's how Daddy works.
It's hard to shut down. Yep. Yeah,
she's
exactly.
closer than she realizes.
So I haven't tried Giggles.net, but we've talked about some other software like that, and I keep getting recommendations. I think one of the ones I talked about on the show was just Windows, and I got, I think, Alpha Baby. I might have talked about one of them is there's definitely stuff for the Mac and the PC, and I'll put a little roundup of those in the screen in the show notes.
Cool.
This week, so yeah, I think that's it. Hopefully, I keep wanting to say like the car talk line. You know, you've wasted another hour listening.
You've wasted another hour listening to car talk. So I'm still desperately looking for I realize now, I think Sean Carruthers showed it on the Lab with Leo, this little cheap video camera.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to find it because I know I can. Somewhere it's in here. Lee.
Well, if you guys
it was like $129, and that was what was cool about it. And you get about $120, you get 30 minutes of recording time.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and it's a video camera, but you can do stills with it. I mean, it's exactly, I don't know, I probably wouldn't give this to a 5-year-old, but maybe a 10-year-old, an 8 or 9-year-old, right? So it's called the Flip Video. I found it.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. There are a number of companies that make these. I think they're a bunch of just Taiwanese companies that make this, but it's called Flip Video. Let me see if I can find the website.
Well, while you're doing that, if your 5-year-old or younger or older has a video camera that they like that you are happy with, you should email me at Megan.
Oh, we'd love to hear from you. Yeah.
twit.tv. Megan@twit.tv.
So this is it. This is the Flip Video Ultra.
Ooh.
It's about $120. It's a very simple camera. It has a USB connector on it, so you just plug it into the USB camera.
That's nice.
The USB port, and it comes in colors. I think it's probably appropriate for a little bit older kid.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, if you're giving your kid a $5,000 art allowance, then $129 camera drop in the bucket.
It's got TV playback. It's got a microphone. It's USB, and it does use standard AA batteries. So, I would probably get rechargeables because the kid will use power through batteries, as they do with everything. Anyway, good. I'm glad I found that before we left. So I want to apologize for anything I said that might have been offensive to anybody in our listening audience. And I think that'll be my blanket disclaimer for all shows.
Excellent. I also apologize for Leo and whatever he said.
Yeah, right. Yes. Next week...
Next week, we are going to be talking to a couple of folks who started a new website for travelers. For family-friendly travel, which I'm really excited about that.
And lots of links. Don't forget, Megan's blog is jumpingmonkeys.com. That's where all the links and so forth and information that we talk about on the show are there. And also her Tumblr, which is...
jumpingmonkeys.tumblr.com.
Okay. And... well, we'll just see you next time on Jumping Monkeys. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You, then.
Us. Thanks. Oh, thanks for being here. Oh, thank you for having us in your ears.
That's what I meant.
And by the way, use a Q-tip.
That's so unhygienic.